Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chovav. And we were talking yesterday about belief on the basis of Mesiach Lefi Tumo. So we had this story about this kid remembering, well, now he was 90, but he was remembering when he was a kid that they used to be matfil him. The kids used to stay away from him. They made fun of him. They called him Yochanan Ochel Chalos. Anyway, based on that, they accepted it to be Malahim Lekahuna. Now, that's rather a shocking kind of idea. We had all of these questions about what we're going to rely on to be Malah Lekahuna, and now it turns out we rely just sort of on vague memories and so on. So what exactly is the Sugya Beisiach Fitumo actually is a major question of how far we go. So, I mean, it's clear in Bava Kamma that we're only accepting Mesiach Lefi Tumo in the cases of Edus Isha, which means that your husband died. That's because of Igun. So there we learned that. And also, Lagabi, the Din here, which we're going to see about Shvuya. We're over there if we have a basis to say that she is, well, was not raped based on Mesiach Lefi Tumo, or this case of Truma, which is talking about only Truma Derabbanan. Now, based on this, most of the poskim believe that the common denominator is that definitely we will not accept a Mesiach Lefi Tumo when there is a Din D'Oraisa, only in these particular Dinim Derabbanan. And only over there are we going to listen to them. Now, this is Nogea, even, let's say, in cases where even in a D'Oraisa, where we would believe in Eid Echad, right? Let's say Eid Echad Nema Bisurin and so on. We still are not going to believe a Mesiach Lefi Tumo if the Isser is D'Oraisa. Now, that is very, very Nogea. All kinds of questions in Kashrut and so on. And that's how the Taz paskins, that if it's a D'Oraisa, we don't accept even as an Eid Echad a Mesiach Lefi Tumo. However, there's a big machlokas about that, because the Shach paskins not like that, and the Gro paskins not like that. And they say that even in the D'Oraisa, if it is possible to figure out what really happened based on an analysis of what took place, so that you have right away also an ability to prove that the guy is lying, that he's pretending to be a Mesiach Lefi Tumo, then you would be able to believe a Mesiach Lefi Tumo, and that would mean that even Benogea D'Oraisa in those cases, which is the way Ramesha Zatzal Paskin and Igris Ramesha, that it's believed, but it still leaves you in Yonim of, it leaves the issue as a Suffolk, and then you have to Paskin on the basis of Suffolk. Others learn that a Goy that's Mesiach Lefi Tumo is only Neman where they're mamish afraid to be caught, and we can also catch them, that would mean. So then, if that's the case, then that's a big chumrah, and that's the way that the Brichodesh is medaktik in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Sfaradim, therefore, also pask in this way, the chumrah. So let's say, even in a case, let's say a goy was just talking, and we see from what he says, that an egg wasn't laid on Yantav, so that it wouldn't be us or Mitam Noilat for Yisrael. He's not believed, because there's no way for us to counter him. And that's basically the way Rav Ovadia Paskin in terms of the Sfaradik Halacha. Okay, but in any event, that's what we were up to yesterday. And we got up to Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. So now we're going to take the stages that we had. We're going to be going over those stages and the different shitas in a moment, because the Gemara is going to be looking through the three-way machlokas that we have in our Mishnah to try to figure out what the difference is between all of the various shitas. But before we do that, let's continue on with another raya that may be a raya that somebody is a Kohen, which is fascinating. Because it's really weird, in that the Braita says, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kishem, that's where we got up to yesterday, and that is kishem shahatruma. If we are being samech on the achila of truma, and we're going to say that this is a raya, that is a kohen, Listen to this. Kach Maaser Rishon Chazak Al HaKuna. This is the weirdest thing. So if he's given Maaser Rishon, then that proves also he's a Kohen. Masha Ein Kein, this is even crazier. HaKholek BeBeidin Ein HaChazaka. But if somebody is given Truma by a Bezdin at the Goren, then it doesn't prove that he's a Kohen. Now, this thing is completely wild. So how can you prove that he's a Kohen because he's eating Maaser? And if you're not going to accept a Bezdin that gives him Truma, how then do we accept Truma as a Raya that he's a Kohen? So this is what the Gemara is going to now concentrate on. First of all, ask the Gemara, what is this business about Maaser Rishon? I thought Maaser Rishon belongs to the Levi. So how can giving him Maaser Rishon prove that he's a Kohen? Ah, that's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya, the Braisa says Truma is given to a Kohen, and Maaser Rishon is given to a Levi, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Maaser Rishon is also given to a Kohen. Says the Gemara, okay, also. I mean, he didn't say it's only given to a Kohen, did he? He said it's also given to a Kohen. So how could it prove that he's a Kohen? Maybe he's a Levi that's getting Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon. Eimo d'yomer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, af l'Kohen. He didn't say l'Kohen v'lo l'Levi, did he? Mi amar. So where in the world do we get the idea that you can bring a raya that someone is a Kohen because he's getting Maaser Rishon? So wild, says the Gemara. Yes, indeed, that is exactly what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds. Why? Because it's talking about Botar de Kansinhu Ezra. After Ezra took the census and he discovered that there were no Levian that had showed up with him, and he was absolutely infuriated. How could it be? We're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and Levim don't show up. So he gave a knas that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Maaser Rishon can be given only to the Kohanim and not to the Levim. So this, according to Tosfos, is the way that we understand it. That before the knas, so Aliba Rabbi Akiva, the din was that only Levim can get Maaser Rishon. And after the knas, according to Rabbi Akiva, even Kohanim can get Maaser Rishon. So that was the knas, not that they don't get it at all. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that before the knas, it was also possible to give Maaser Rishon to Kohanim, because after all, Kohanim are Levim as well. So then, according to him, if we gave a knas, then the knas was that we don't give it to the Levim at all. It's remarkable. Now, there is something of a problem as to the mocker of all of this in the Pasuk, because as Tosis points out, the Pasuk sure isn't mashma like this. The only thing that it says in Ezra is that Vahaya Kohen ben Aharon im halavim ba'asar halavim. That's all that it says. So then that means that the knas was that the Kohen ben Aaron would come together with the Levim, which is mashma, that if the Levim are going, the Kohanim can come and they can also take it. So how according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where that is not mashma, there was any knas, that was the din always, even before there was a knas. So where in the world does he get the idea that there was a knas, that there shouldn't be anything that was given to Levim? So Tosis brings a very interesting pshat, Aliba Rabbeinu Yosef, who says that since it says in Malachi, which we read in the Haftarah, Haviu et kol ha-ma'aser al beit ha-otzar, what does that mean? So that Beit HaOtzar, he says, the Beit HaOtzar that Ezra was metaken, which was a special lishka, that over there, and it says over there, in Ezra, mentions such a lishka. So now, and that was a lishka that they were putting in the Truma. So now that it says to put it in the Beit HaOtzar, it means to put the Maaser in the same lishka that they used to put the Truma. And that would mean that they're collecting it specifically for the Kohanim. And that would be the raya. Now, Lamaisa Tosis brings a big kasha on all of this, because at the end of the Sefer Ezra, it says that ve'edaki minayot ha-leviyim lo nitna lehem, Vayivrachu ish l'sadeh ha-leviyim ha-meshorerim, mashma, that he was very much, that the leviyim should get ma'atzerishin. We have to, like, say the ein muktam u'me'uchra. It's very, very problematic to fit exactly into the Rambam and the Pesukim. But in any event, this is the way Tosfos understands the sugya between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So therefore, if l'maisa were being mechalik, l'maisa rishon, it must mean bizman hazeh that he's a kohen. That must be the pshat after the knas. I understand, but I mean, come on, the knas doesn't assure that a levi is not going to get maisa. Suppose there's no kohen around. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take the maisa and let it rot? I mean, obviously, in that case, you can give it to a levi, right? So, Dima equally Avule. I mean, maybe it just means that there happened to be, there was no one else there. So we gave it to a Levi, but why in the world would that be a proof positive that the guy is a Kohen? Oh, Rav Chista talking about my Askina. No. This is a special case. Cases like this. We had a Chazaka that this guy's father was a Kohen. Fine. So now the question was that rumors started that his mother was a Grusha, was a Chalutza, and because of that, he is a halal. Okay? So what they did was, they gave Maaser Rishon to him in the Beit HaGranot. That's why it's for sure that he is a Kohen. Because what else are you going to say? He's a Levi. We know he's not a Levi. We know his father is a Kohen. The only question was that maybe he was a Ben Gerusha or Ben Chalutza, right? That's the only Chashash. It's a Michael Mimar, Ben Gerusha, Uben Chalutza? No. That is impossible. Because we would not give Maaser Rishon to a Yisrael. And he would have a din of a Yisrael. Now that's a fascinating thing. Because you would have thought that a Kohen who is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, doesn't lose his status of being a Levi. Lamaisa, he's a Levi. He comes from Shevet Levi. You can't say, what, so now we're going to pretend that he comes from Shevet Binyamin? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? Unless we say that din of the Levia that we're giving him, Maaser Rishon, is not a halacha in anybody from Shevet Levi. It is from those who are Mekudesh in Shevet Levi. And therefore, since he's a Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, he loses that status of the Kiddusha of the Shevet Levi vis-a-vis Trumas and Maisers. That's the point. It's a tremendous Kiddush. The Gemara is just taking for granted that that must be the Pshat. It's an astounding, astounding Kiddush. If somebody would have asked you, would have said, well, of course he's still a Levi. Apparently, he's not still a Levi. Quite, quite amazing. Okay, so you see from here that din of Maaser is not just a din in Shevet Levi, but the din of Levia that a Kohen usually has is not just a halacha of what family he belongs to. It's part of his Kedusha. So once he's Nischalal, he goes out of the Kedusha of Levi. Now, the Maaser, there is, in the Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas about whether that's true. But over here, we're taking it for granted. So it would seem from this Gemara, the Avnei Nezer speaks about this, and he understands the Gemara has to be saying that. Okay, so what's left? He's not a Levi, that we know. So, because if he were, his father's a Kohen, he can't be a Levi. But not only according to the Mandi Omar, who says that it's usher to give my Sarishan to Yisrael, we're not going to give it to him. But even according to the Mandi Omar, who says there's no Isser in a Yisrael eating it, but certainly, we're not going to hand it out to him as part of the chalukah of Maaser. That's insane. So that's off the wall. Can't mean that. So what happened? Therefore, Tainis Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, there's only one possible explanation, which is that they determined that he's not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, in which case he's a Kohen, because his father was a Kohen. That's what he was talking about when he said that it's a Raya that is a Kohen. Okay, I understand that part, but what about the second part? That if we're giving him the Truma under the Rishus of a Bezdin, then it's not a Raya. Well, if that's not a Raya, what is a Raya? I don't understand. What does that make sense? So where are you telling me that Truma is a Chazaka if you're telling me with a Bezdin it's not a Chazaka? Omer of Sheshes, you don't understand. It's not talking about where they gave him Truma as a Kohen. It's talking about a man's father died. There were several brothers, right? So let's say there were three brothers, and this brother, together with the other brother, was given Truma that was in his father's estate. And therefore, the Chiddush is that you might have thought that the fact that the Beis Din was willing to give him Truma even as part of the estate is a raya that he's a Kohen. But it isn't. If his father died and the Beis Din splits up the property by giving them all equal amounts of Truma, that's not a chazaka. Oof. Obviously, that's not a chazaka. I understand. Someone who's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, that affects his Yerusha? How would it affect his Yerusha? What kind of riot would I have a Hava Amina? No. I'll tell you my Hava Amina is very simple. Listen, if the Beis Din is going to be splitting up the estate, so then it would make much more sense for them to say, look, the part that's Truma, let's give to the children that are Kohanim. Analyze what the value of it was and give this third son, where we don't know that he's a kosher coin because we have this goal, he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. Let's give him an equivalent amount of property that isn't Truma. We'll split it up that way so that the Truma goes to children who can eat Truma and not the children who can't eat Truma. That's what you would have thought. So the fact that the Beis Din is willing to hand out the Truma equally should be a raya that they actually consider this child to be a coin, right? Be a kosher coin. That's the Chiddush. Kamash Malan. That, no, the Beis Din, I mean, you don't know whether there was an equivalent amount of property that could have been given to him or whether the Beis Din wanted to do that, whatever. So you could certainly give Cohen, a non-Cohen, you could give him Truma not to eat, so he'll sell it and he'll get the market value, the reduced market value of produce that is good for Kohanim alone. Fine. So Kamash Malan, Hanech Lachila, Hanech Lezabuni. So the Beis Din may be giving out to two out of the three brothers Truma to eat, and maybe giving out to this third brother, Truma, not because he's a Kohen who can eat it, but giving it out to him to be able to sell it, and therefore you can't bring a raya from here at all. Okay, yeah? No. It's not a getter of yichus. This relates Bichlal to the whole misunderstanding that people have about not calling up a Levi if there's not a Kohen Rishon, you know, which they think has to do with the mistake of whether it is. The point is that you're not, I've seen halacha books that make this mistake. I actually went and spoke to the author of one of the books to show him that that's not true, what he wrote. It's not that there is a din that you can call up a Levi. You can't call up a Levi in the event that there's not a Kohen. It's that the Kedusha, the Chashivas of a Levi, cannot be mistaken for a Chashivas on its own. It can only be a Chashivas where it's connected to the Chashivas of the Kohen. That's the point. And so we don't want people making that mistake. But let's say you want to call up a Levi because of the fact that he has a yard site today, or he's the only one that is available right now, or he's the most choshua one. There's no problem because you're not asserting that it has something to do with his levias. So that interrelationship is a very broad issue that people are not aware of, and that there's two different inyanim in being a levi. One is the shevet that you're shayach to, like anybody else, where we never make a big deal out of that anymore. It's only to get the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael. And the other is the Chashivas of Shevet Levi. The Chashivas of Shevet Levi is an element of the Kedushas Levi. Okay. I mean, if what you meant, of course, was Yichus in terms of the Kedusha of Yichus, I mean, that's the same thing. But in terms of saying he's not a Levi just because he's not Misyachis HaChashevet HaLevi, that's not true. He certainly would be Misyachis after Levi. Anyway, Vaita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now we need to go back and think about the Mishnah, because the Mishnah has pronounced various issues about where we believe. Started off, remember, at the beginning of the Mishnah, started off with Shnei Anashim, where each one is saying, I'm a Kohen. So over there, we don't believe them. If each one says that the other one is a Kohen, not only that I am a Kohen, So then they would be Nema, according to the Tanakhama. Then that was followed directly by this Machlokas. And the Machlokas got very confusing because Rabbi Yehuda said what appeared to be a general clause. Ein malin lakuna al pi eid echad. So he's arguing on the Tanakhama completely. And the Gemara came out that the issue over there was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are malin mitruma layuchasin. And therefore, the whole question was whether we'll allow the guy to eat truma. Everybody agreed that we're not going to be malayim layuchasin. But since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even believing him lagabi truma will end up being malahim leyuchasim, because we go from truma to yuchasim. So because of that, it's because people will assume that it means that he's a complete kohen, and they'll give him an isha miyuchaset, the arba batikas, and so on, that we'll see. Therefore, ein malin lakuna al pi eid echad. Masha inkein, the Tana of the Tanakhama, Rabbanan that we call, they hold that ein malin mitruba leyuchasim, and therefore there's no problem. So this would be that shita. Okay. Then we have Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, well, when do we say ein malin lakuna al pied echad, which is what Rabbi Yehuda just said? That's only if there's ayurin, which we're going to see what ayurin means. But in the end, it's going to mean that there are witnesses that are claiming that he's possible. But b'makam she'ein ayurin, said the Mishnah, malin lakuna al pied echad. But, that's only in the event, and this is his machlokas with the Tanakhama, that's only in the event that we don't have a chashash of gaimlin. Mashenke in the Tanakhama holds, even if we do have a chashash of gaimlin, we don't care. So that was the first level of the machlokas with Rabbi Elazar. Even though he agrees with the Tanakhama, he says it won't apply in a case where they are both supporting each other. That's very, very suspicious. Okay? So Bemela, there are now three machlokas. First of all, the machlokas that we have of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that malim yitruma leyuchasin, which means that we can't accept under any circumstances because of chashash of yichus. Then we have the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar. And that is a machlokas about whether we're chashinan legomlim or not. According to the Tanakhama, we're not chashinan legomlim. And according to Rabbi Elazar, we are chashinan legomlim. And then we have this additional approach, which is not clear at all what the machlokas over here is. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Hasgan Malin Bekuna Pi Eid Echad. And what exactly was his shita? What was the machlokas here as yet another shita in the Mishnah? Fourth shita. What is it referring to? That what? Al Pi Eid Echad. Where would it be Al Pi Eid Echad? So, because, I mean, otherwise he's just repeating what Rabbi Elazar said. So let's take a look at what the case is. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Ein Malin Lakuna Al Pied Echad. Rabbi Elazar Eimer, B'makom She'ein Erin. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Eimer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Hasgan, Malin Lakuna Al Pied Echad. Meaning what? I mean, if he's just saying that if there's no chashash of Gamlim, so then he's saying the same thing that Rabbi Elazar says. He can't be saying that we're going to believe one witness where there's Urin and no chashash of gaimlim. This is exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. If he said that it's talking about a case where there is a chashash of gaimlim, that's what the Tanakhama said. So what is this new shita? So I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me that between the lines, there's a machlokas over here about what constitutes Urin. That's the point. So in other words, the difference between the two shitas is where you have only one person who's coming to be ma'arer, that he's not a kosher kohen. So what happened is that apparently Rabbi Elazar holds that an arar can be an attack on his kahuna by even one person. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, against one person, we will believe in even an eid echad, because that's not called an arar. An arar requires two people. So when Rabbi Shimon says, malin the kahuna al pi eid echad, what he meant was that an eid echad is reliable against a single person who's tining that he's not a kosher kohen. Well, you can't say that either. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that Nobody holds in this Mishnah that an RR can be with one. Divrei HaKol in RR Pachot Mishnayim. So then that means that the idea of Rebbe Elazar and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel does not revolve around the question of what constitutes an RR. So then what is the new Chiddush of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in the name of Reb Shimon ben Askan? Answers the Gemara a very complicated case. Baruch Avram. It's very difficult to get this clear in a state of Ritchie somnolence, it's called. It's a very, very special state, which Ritchie is happy to share with you, and that's why the Zoom has put you and Ritchie together over here. But because both of you are besikun, oh, look at this. Ritchie's wide awake, and it just moved you away. So we need to pay attention because this is introduces a new machlokas, a whole new idea, and it actually is a little bit complicated. What happened over here is like this. We have a chazaka that this guy is the child of a kohen. Normally we would have treated him as a normal kohen, but a rumor comes out. Now a rumor is a kol. A kol does not have a din of arar at all. But because of the maila of the kahuna, we have a din that when rumors come out that a kohen isn't kosher, the Bezdin looks into it. Looking into it means that they suspend his kahuna rights for a couple of weeks, you know, and then they look into whatever, how serious was this call and so on. So nafakala kola de ben grusho ben chalutza. We looked into it. We didn't find any reliable kind of RR. There was no witness to it at all. And since we say that we need to have a real RR, so we brought him back in to the kahuna on the basis of an eid echad. Comes along one eid. He says, listen, I known this family for, you know, the past 50 years. This guy was a kosher kohen. His mother was absolutely a kosher woman. She worked for a kahuna. She wasn't a grusha. She wasn't a chalutza. So based on that single aide who for sure is good against a kol, the Bez Din now put him back into full kahuna status. Okay. Everybody agrees that we'll believe an eid echad against a kol where there was a chazaka. That's how Rashi understands it. And come along now, two witnesses. Uh-oh. So now that we have two witnesses, we have a true RR. And the two witnesses say, he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. Based on that, the Beis Din had to cancel his kahuna rights. So they took away his Ravkav. And then, so Achsinu. They were took him down again. Now another eid echad. Now that means that in total, we now have two eidim, but they didn't come together, right? So another eid echad shows up and says, I also know this family for the past 50 years, and I know that it's not true, and that his mother was kosher. And he says, Yadana beta koinu. Now, what then is the machlokas? Machlokas is like this. Everybody agrees that even if witnesses don't show up at the same time and walk into court together, nonetheless, they would still be mitzdarev for a proper testimony. So there's no problem of that. So what is the issue over here? The machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel revolves around Gavi. You're going to have to make a note of this, even though you're having such a good time over there with your boost and putting it in the face of all of those who aren't Zeicha. You have to write down this concept, Ziluta de Beidina. So what the machlokas is over here between Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is whether Chayshinan leziluta de Beidina. If the Bezdin is going to look like a bunch of nuts, I mean, like every other week, they're taking away his Ravkav and then they're giving it back. I mean, like what, you know, can't these guys make up their mind if he's a kohen or he's not a kohen? And we can't keep putting him back in, taking him down, putting him up, taking him down, putting him up. So because of that, since it is a ziluta de Beidina, it turns the Beis Din into a laughing stock. So the Tanakama, when it says Tanakama here, please note, it's not referring to the Tanakama at the first part of the Mishnah. That nothing to do with it. The Tanakama means Rebbe Elazar here, right? So the Tanakhama, the first Bandi Omar in this series of Machlokas that followed the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, meaning Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar holds, look, once they were Achtinu Lomaskinu Lai, we can't put them back up again after we've already taken them down for the second time, because Chayshinu Lezilut de Beidina. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Sava, look, Anan Achtinu Lai, Anan Maskinu Lai. I mean, the Bezin's got to do what you got to do. You know, we took him down, we put him back up, Lezilut de Beidina Lo Chayshinu. That's not something that can get in the way of the true halacha. So we're not concerned about it. Makif Loravashi, this is a ridiculous explanation. Because then it has nothing to do with Eid Echad, darn it. If the question is Zilut de Beidina, so what would be the difference if two Eidim show up at the same time? You would say the same thing, that we're Chayash from Zilut de Beidina. So what are you trying to tell me? This explains why we're saying I'll be Eid Echad when the Eid Echad is totally irrelevant. How are you trying to fit that in here? It's absurd. Afilu Trevich Reinami, wouldn't we also be worried, I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar, because of Zilus of the Beidina, even if we were to aid him? That doesn't change anything. So, that can't be the pshat. I'll tell you what the issue is over here. The issue is whether two aidim that come at different times are considered to be a single testimony. That's the question. So can you add the second aid to be called two aidim against the two aidim of the ordering? And that happens to be a major machlokas. You should know this. I'm not making this up, because we know that there's a pluta da hanitanoi. We have a big machlokas, famous machlokas in a braita da Tanya. Now, please don't get confused. The beginning of this braita has nothing to do with the machlokas that we're talking about. It's the second part that is the machlokas. This is, first we're going to describe a machlokas that is related, but is not this issue. And that is a fascinating thing, but it's not our sugya, so we can't get into it. But the question is that according to the Tanakhama, if two witnesses show up, even together, and they testify, they cannot testify unless they both saw the same thing. So, ad shiru eina dusa mitzarefet, ad shiru shneim ke'echad. If they saw two different things that are actually rias to the same issue, let's say one guy says, I saw Reuven make a loan to Shimon. And the other eight says, well, the next day I heard Shimon say in front of me that I owe Reuven for that loan that he made me yesterday. So now we have two witnesses to the same loan, but they're testifying about completely different issues. One is testifying to the loan, and the other one is testifying to the Odas Baal Din that he owes the money. Nonetheless, Tainas Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, Afilo Bezachar Zeh, it doesn't matter. Bezachar Zeh doesn't mean that they showed up Bezachar Zeh. It means that they're talking about events that occurred Bezachar Zeh, one the loan, and then the other one that the guy was made about the loan. Fine. This is a fascinating sugya, because Bepashtas, if Edus is talking about an event, how can you possibly put together two Enim that are talking about two completely different events? So this is a major sugya about whether Edus for Momon is actually Edus on the event, or is it Edus about the Chiev and creates the Chiev? Not our sugya, but keep it in mind. Now, the second machlokas, that's the machlokas that we're talking about over here between Rabbi Elazar and between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Furthermore, machlokas number two. V'ein eidu tan mitkayemet bebeidin ad she'yaidu shneim ke'echad. So according to the Tanakhama, they both have to come to Beis Din at the same time. And according to Rabbi Natan, that's not a necessity. Shomim dvarav shazeh hayom, u'kishiyavo chaveiro l'machar shomim dvarav. So obviously, Rabbi Elazar is saying like the Tanakhama. And he says, look, you can't accept it because it's an Eid Echad. It's not Mitztarif. Whereas comes along Rabbi Shimon and says, no, Malin Alpi Eid Echad, meaning not Malin Alpi Eid Echad, but Malin Alpi an Eid Echad who comes a week later and is Mitztarif with another Eid. And that's what he's talking about. It has nothing to do with the first two shitas in the Mishnah that are arguing b'chalal about ma'alan mitrum aliyuchsin and so on. So therefore, let's keep the issues separate, totally, totally separate, and call upon our dear Capitan, who has been waiting impatiently. Well, what are you going to catch on that bated breath? I mean, you're using too much of a fisherman's. I'm chayshed you that maybe you just came in with the bait. Excellent. Sometimes it's good to keep it in for a while. So now we have another case of the issues that we were talking about before, of a shvuya. And here we have a woman who is nechbisha. Now, nechbisha is not the same thing as shvuya. A shvuya is kidnapped. And a nechbisha is that she was legally imprisoned. So this is a debtor's prison. She owed money, possibly. We'll see what the cases could be. She might also have been under a death sentence, but we'll see. So she was imprisoned. And if it's Ayidei Mamon, Mutaret Levala. So even though she's in a Goyish prison, but because of the fact that this is a government-sanctioned event, they are not choshud that they raped her. Because if they did, then that would have made it very difficult legally for them to be able to get the money out of her that she owes. And that was the whole point of the imprisonment. So therefore, we're not chashish if it's going to cost them money. But if she was in prison, as we'll see, because of something that is going to be a capital offense, asur lalavala. So then she is asura. Now, what exactly asura means over here? Ooh, this is a major machlokas. Does it mean that she is asura even if her husband is not a kohen? Well, actually, Rashi and Tosfos both learn even if her husband is not a kohen. Now, this is a very profound machlokas, apparently, about the nature of anusa. So their shita is that if a woman is affected by a Stockholm syndrome, so she is really under duress, they didn't rape her, but she might have gone along with their, whole position and become very friendly with them in terms of a Stockholm response because she thought that this way she would be able to save her life. So Rashi and Tosfos both taina that if she was nitrat seit, it could be that she got involved with them sexually. And, it's just part of the psychological pressure of someone whose life is endangered. So this is the way that Rashi and Tosfos learned. Now, on the other hand, the Sfardim, all of the various in Sfarad, which includes the Rambam and includes the Rimikash, and the Ramban also learns like this, they hold that the entire discussion over here is only in terms of a woman who's married to a kohen. Why in the world would we be choshes that she was nitratsa? Maybe she was, undoubtedly she was nensa, which only answers her on a kohen. So what's interesting is that the Rashba is not the Rashba, by the way. The Rashba on Tzuvos is the Ramban. And it was printed up as the Rashba, which is terrible. Everybody's crediting the Rashba with all the Rambans. This is the Ramban on Ksubas, is the Rashba. And he says the words that when a person is willing to go along with a rape because of terror, that is considered to be an ones. It's not considered to be a rotsin. So this is a major issue. And I mean, the question is whether it's a Stockholm syndrome or whether it may be something that is more specific and that they indicated to her that they want to sleep with her. Now, this could be a big nafkamina because remember, this is something that we've spoken about many times, the amazing Rambam, who talks out the difference in the halacha between someone who agreed to do an iser that you're not allowed to, let's say he agreed to be Eved Avedah Zarah, or agreed even to shoot someone because his life was endangered and somebody put a gun to his head. The din is that even though he's not allowed to do it, if he does do it, he's considered to be an ones. And that means it's not his act, and therefore he would be potter. Masha Ein Kein, where the person does something that is usher on that level in order to save his life. So let's say he's very ill and he's a vampire, and the only way that he can get better is by drinking this guy's blood. So he doesn't mean to kill the guy, but he needs the guy's blood. Over there, he would be chayef. What's the difference? So obviously the difference is that ones can only be defined as ones, according to the Rambam, when one's will was taken over, and therefore we say it's not your choice. But where you had to come up with the choice, well, I have to save my life, and therefore I need to drink his blood, that's your choice. That's the opposite of the whole concept of ones. Nobody took over your mind. Over here, you needed someone to take over your mind. So that distinction in the Rambam would be very nogea, the machlokas over here, Rashi and Tosfos, with the Ribi Gash and so on, right? So the question is, if it's literally a Stockholm syndrome in which nobody wanted to sleep with her, and she decides she's going to go ahead and she's going to seduce them or whatever with the hope that maybe this way they will spare her, so that for sure is not considered to be an ones. So the question over here may be to what extent we have the chashat. It's difficult to know how far we go on this, but it's very important to recognize that there's a major machlokas rishonim about the extent of ones. Okay, so in this case, she would be asur lebaala, as I say, machlokas, does that mean baala kohen, or does that mean any baala? Omer b'shmul bar of Yitzhak, Omer Rab, this halacha that she is muteret, if it was only a matter of finance, that's only because we trust a government that cannot allow rape in a prison. This is mamish today's news, as you know, that cannot allow rape in a prison because it's under the hands of a Israeli government. So it's talking about Shiyad Yisrael Takif Alov Dekochavim. Now, obviously, it's not under an Israeli government. It's in the Shtachim. In other words, the point over here is that there are limits to how far they can go, but it's not literally run by Jews. So the Jews will get involved if they are totally out of line. But basically, it's autonomy. So here we have a Mishnah that discusses autonomy under Jews, a disaster, as we know. But at least there's some control over them, so they won't rape her over matters of monetary issues. But when they, this is a euphemism, alatzmam means on Yisrael. So when they are the ones that are in power, they do whatever the heck they want to do. They don't worry they're going to lose their money. They can go and rape and steal and whatever. He asks Rava, how can that be true? That we're talking about only in places where Yisrael is in charge, ultimately. What are you going to do about the Mishnah in Idiot? Ha'id Rabbi Yossi HaKohen v'Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzab, Abat Yisrael Shuhur Hana ba'Ashkelon. Now listen, in the end, the Gemara is going to make a distinction, and it's going to turn out that we have three different madregas. We have a madrega of kidnapping, which is completely, obviously, illegal. It's under force, and then the pirates can go and rape her and whatever. We have the din of nechbisha, which is imprisoned, which has a legal basis. And then we have the din of hurhana. Hurhana means that, as was unfortunately the minhag in those days, we can see this even from the Navi, that they would make a person the mashkan on a loan. So that's very similar to the banks nowadays. You have to sign your kids over when you take out a mortgage and so on, right? Not really. But anyway, so that's what you literally had to do in those days, right? So you took this woman and you made her the mashkin. Oh, if I don't pay you the loan, you can take my wife. Oh, my God. So that's what happened. The guy did not pay back the loan, and they took his wife. So that is called Hur Hana. Now that, the Gemara is going to make a distinction between a Hur Hana and a Nech B'Shah. So over there, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav said, and this took place in Ashkelon, and that turns out to be important. And what happened over there was that the family did not let her back in. The family were Kohanim, and they held that she must have been raped. And there were Edim that she had that said that they know that the entire time she was not alone with these people, and that therefore she was not raped. The Amru Lahem Chachamim, so the Chachamim said to the Mishpacha, look, you can't have it both ways. Imatem aminim shur hana. If you believe these people, this relates to Peshas or Peshiter, as you'll see. If you believe these people that she was actually taken over by these Goyim, then the same witnesses are telling you that she wasn't raped. And if you refuse to believe that she wasn't raped, so then al taminu shur hana, then you don't have witnesses that say that she actually was taken over by them. Now, here is my point, says Rava. Where is Ashkelon? Ashkelon is in an area where the Goyim are tkifin al atzmam. And it says in that case that if she was Hur Hana, and only if she was Hur Hana, so then she needs Edim that are going to make her kosher. But let's say she was just Nech B'Shah, because we said Dafka, the case is Hur Hana. So apparently Nech B'Shah does not require Edim. And that's against what Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says that in Ashkelon, you would need to have Edim. And here it says in Ashkelon, you have Edim only because it was a Maisa of Hur Hana. Answers the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe it was just that was the case, but not that that was the only case. Maybe Hu Adin Afilu Nech B'Shah. What Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak would say is that it would have been exactly the same thing if this was a case in prison. The Ma'aseh Shaya Kachayat happened to be that the case was Hur Hana, but it would have been exactly the same as I'm saying. Even if she's in prison in Ashkelon, you can't trust anything, because in Ashkelon, people do what they want. Now, others say that actually he uses this, Rava didn't use it to ask a kasha on Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he used it as a riot of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, in which, oh my Rava, yes indeed, we actually learned this same thing, namely, hey, it Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav bat Yisrael Shur Hana b'Ashkelon. V'richaku ha'b'nei mishpachta v'yedeh ha'me'idim alayah shalom nistra v'shalom nitma'ah. V'yomru chachamim, look, you can't have it both ways. Im atem ma'minim shur hana, then you have to believe them shalom nistra v'shalom nitma'ah. And if you refuse to believe that lo nistra v'lo nitma'ah, then don't believe that she was Rana. So what do you want? Now here's my raya in this version. Here's my raya. Ashkelon, the Maisa was because of Hur Hana. Hur Hana is a mortgage, so it's entirely mamai, right? And nonetheless, why do we say that she's mutter? Only because there are Edim. But if there would be no Edim, you see that we would have to say that because she's in Ashkelon, she would be Asura. My love, and I'm assuming that it doesn't really matter whether she was Hur Hana or she was Nech B'Shah, why would that be? It must be a raya to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, that even if a woman is in a place like Ashkelon, and it's only because of a financial, it's a debtor's prison, afal pikein, if it's a place like Ashkelon, then you cannot be matur without Eden. And the Gemara says in this version, you can't bring a raya to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, because maybe Hur Hana is different by definition. Over here, legally, if she was Hur Hana, she's this guy's property. And if she's this guy's property, he can use her for sexual purposes, and there's no issue. It's only if she was in prison that it becomes a problem. Now, there's a third approach. First approach was a kash on Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Second approach was a riot Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Third approach is, it was the source of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's own initial response. Some learn that this whole thing began as a kasha between the two Mishnayos. In our Mishnah, it says, Ayidei Mamon Muteret Lebala. What do you do about the Mishnah in Idios that says, V'raminu Heyid Rav Yossi HaKohen and Rav Zechariah ben HaKatzav on a woman, ba 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 ba. And the Gemara then asks, isn't that a contradiction? Ashkelon, after all, is Ayidei Mamon. And it says, the only reason she's butter is because Edim or Me'idim. in our Mishnah it says you don't need Edim Edim. How do you explain that? And in this version, the whole point of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak was to explain that. And came along Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak and said it's not a problem. Because one thing is a story in Ashkelon, and one thing is a story where Yad of Yisrael or Tekifah of Dekochavim. And the other one in Ashkelon was talking about Yad of Dekochavim, Tekifah Latzman, which is why you needed the Edim. Then the Mishnah continues, but if it was on an issue that involved a threat to her life, so it was Hayyadeh Fashot, then even in prison she would be Asura. Amar Rav, you know what that means? Doesn't mean that she personally was necessarily accused of a capital thing. It could mean that she was the wife of a ganav, because in those days what they used to do is that a guy wants to steal other people's things, well, we will treat him mida keneged mida. Besides killing him, we will say that everything in his home, including his wife and his kids, are also hefker to anybody who wants them. And that would be al yedei nefashot, basically. And they could kill the wife too. So fine, over there, people do whatever they want to the wife. So then that would make her asur labala. Levi says, they didn't do that if you were just accused of stealing money. It's like the guy of, like, remember the Gemara talked about Elazar ben Dunai, who was a kidnapper. He would murder his victims. And that they actually will be mafkir, the wife of a guy like ben Dunai. Omar Chizkia, this is only true if these husbands were already paskin, that they are going to be killed. Who should nigmar dinam lehariga? Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Once the word gets out that these people are up for trial, that's enough. The women become totally hefker.